Beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to read the scripture now for Pastor Adam comes and brings the word. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, it's against the authorities, it's against the powers of this dark world, and it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with that belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord. All right.
Good morning. We usually have a little bumper video, and I don't know where that one is, but nonetheless, it's kind of my theme song. You ever go to the baseball game, get to walk in on it, so it kind of pumps me up. Could you hum a few bars or something for me? There you go. Thanks, Chris. Hey, do you not just love Timothy Pitt, my buddy from Scotland? Is that guy the best guy ever? I was supposed to be leaving in a week to go walk. I was going to Oxford for 2 weeks, which I was super excited about. I was going to do a bunch of courses over there and do some study. It was a long time dream. So that was a COVID tragedy for me, but we'll go eventually another time. And then Tim and I were going to meet in Scotland and walk the coastal trail about 160 miles together for 2 weeks and just hang out. And you can imagine hanging out with Tim. I've done it a lot. He's a great guy. I'm really looking forward to that event. So with that said, we are moving in to, I think, what episode are we in?
Nine.
Yeah, so nine of Sparking the Flames of Revival. This was a six-week series that I just kept getting phenomenal response about. People just kept emailing me, texting me. And so as opposed to go to another short series, I bumped that one down the road, and I've kept doing this, and God has just kept providing. Now, I am mixing this together, kind of weaving it together with my Holy Spirit class. So there's been a couple Holy Spirit classes that I've spoken about, and this happens to be one of them. I spoke about this on Tuesday night, and this episode nine, is called Spiritual Warfare, looking at the spiritual battles that we fight and that God has called us to fight, but most specifically, how we employ the Holy Spirit. How do we employ the Spirit of God? And asking you the question, do you depend enough on the Holy Spirit? Do you ask the Spirit to be all the things that Jesus promised that he would be? Do you ask the Holy Spirit to be a comforter when you need comforting? Do you ask the Spirit of wisdom? The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of wisdom all through the Proverbs and even in the New Testament. James says you can ask for wisdom. The Holy Spirit will provide you with wisdom. Do you ask for knowledge? When you need to know something, do you ask the Holy Spirit, I need to know this? And sometimes his answer will be, yes, this is the answer. And other times it'll just be, hey, move on in faith, and he will comfort you along. The Holy Spirit gives power. The Holy Spirit interprets the Word of God. The Holy Spirit prays, as you will see in this message, when you pray. Scripture says no one knows how to pray. So just know when somebody writes a book on prayer like I did, we don't know what we're talking about. We just wrote it to encourage you, but what we do know is this, is if you pray, you have a Hall of Famer, the Holy Spirit, that comes in, takes our small little childlike prayers and says, hey, I got this, I'll fix this, reinterprets your prayer and presents them to Jesus, who intercedes before the throne of God as a father, and all of your prayers show up completely perfected. That is why it's just important to pray. The way to learn how to pray, to become great at praying, is to pray. And we will never be great at praying, but the Holy Spirit will be great for us. So we're looking at the Holy Spirit, and I'm challenging the congregation to really lean in to this person of the Holy Spirit. We did a whole year, basically, on the Father heart of God, and we're still there. We're a Trinitarian church. Jesus, obviously, his salvific work, following Jesus is our captain, But the Holy Spirit is the equipper and supplier of God's family, of God's troops. If you want to use a family metaphor, then he's the one that goes to Costco and picks everything up. If you want to use a warfare metaphor, then he provides all of the battle armaments along the supply line, whichever one you're most comfortable with. If God is a gardener, then he's providing the seeds. You can use it, but you understand that the Holy Spirit is an equipper. Now, in this passage, we're going to be focusing on verses 10 and 11 and verses 15. Not going to be breaking apart all the different parts of the armor. I talked a little bit about that last Tuesday night in my Holy Spirit class. You can resource that online if you want to go deeper into these teachings, and I give a lot more context. That's about an hour-long teaching. This will probably be a little bit less than half of that. So you can go deeper if you want, but I want to look at just the understanding and the realization that God has called you to be part of his army. Now, this is not a identity that we want to live in 24/7. I think the church becomes unbalanced when you become a warfare church, when you become a deliverance church. I've been a part of certain movements, especially with my Pentecostal friends, where everything was about deliverance. Everything was about the devil and how God was going to defeat the devil. And every morning you get up and you think, what is the devil's plans? I got to put my armor on. I'm going to war. Warfare is just one element of your spiritual life. So in the same way that I like to go surfing, I don't surf all the time. It is something I do. I get the equipment ready, and there's different times in my day or when I play basketball or when I cook, these different identities within the faith that we mix together, kind of like a giant food court, if that makes sense. You ever go to a food court? You know what I love about food court? Because my daughter can get Panda Express, I can go get some Rubio's, wife can go get some pho or whatever she wants, or however you pronounce it. Is it pho or pho? Pho? It's pho. Really? Pho. So in like 20 years, I've never said that right. Pho. Okay. My wife can go get some pho. Whatever it is. And you know what I like about the food court? Is it's balanced. I love a food court. And the thing that I want to be careful not to do is just binge at one restaurant, if that makes sense. Now, God is interesting. Because God is an eternal God, if you choose just to live in the warfare mindset, you can do that at your entire life. You can just keep going into that, and God will continue to give you revelation. He'll continue to reveal things to you. He'll continue to bless it. It's same thing with prophecy or gifts, or if you want to just serve the poor. As far as you want to go to one of the restaurants in God's food court of identity, you can go and feast there and never go to the others. But oftentimes, we create unbalanced Christians that way. And so what I am saying is, I think, especially at this church, that understanding that there is a spiritual warfare component that is equipped by the Holy Spirit as a church is something that we need understand. And it is a element of this church that I think we need to equip more and speak about more, and I definitely want to lead into that. We talk a lot about grace and the Father's love and Jesus, but this warfare element. And so I guess I want to ask you, do you have a component in your life? Do you have a time in your spiritual existence, the holistic understanding of your spiritual life with God? Think of it over a day, a month, a year, where you understand yourself as being in warfare. You understand yourself as having been attacked or standing firm in the faith or actually taking ground. You pray not just prayers of consolation or prayers for healing, but there's actually battle prayer where you're praying for the demolishing of strongholds like it talks in the scripture. Is there a time at all in the cache of your spiritual existence where you are actually employing this calling that God has given you? Look in the notes, and you'll see in 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is just one of the metaphors that we're called to. There's many metaphors in the scripture. We are called, says in this passage, to be equipped and trained soldiers of God. So, I want to invite you into the battalion if you are not there. If you rarely think about battle, if you rarely think about spiritual warfare, if you rarely think about the principalities and the angelic and the demonic and the power of God, if you rarely think about that, I want to encourage you to step into that understanding. Some people don't because they're afraid of it. I was telling my Holy Spirit class, there was times where I get this temptation hey, don't move forward with God, because if you move forward with God, you're going to get more attack. I don't know if anybody else, a bunch of people kind of laughed during the class, but I've had this temptation sometimes not to move forward because I don't want to fight in battle. Not, and fully understanding that the victory has already been won, and we are not called to make the victory, we are called to take the victory. So Christ has made that victory. So I want to lay that out before you, and then also ask, maybe you're battling too much. Maybe you need some R&R. Maybe you need to stop battling for a while and go rest with the Lord. Go take, you know, some time away. Sit in the Father's love to find this balance. Now, I said we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11. And let me read verse 10 and 11 right now. Finally. I like this. Finally. This is what he anchors the passage with. Be strong in the Lord. Now, this harkens back to Joshua. This harkens back to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. All of the virtues, the seven virtues that are mentioned in all the others, ride upon courage. If you do not have the courage for the other virtues, the courage to love, the courage to be humble, the courage to do all, to have temperance, it is courage that is the bedrock of all the other virtues. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his, what? His mighty power. Not in your power, in his mighty power. As a soldier in the army of God, using prayer and the spiritual weapons that he equips us with, we need to understand that it is not our power that causes strongholds to be broken. Strongholds in your marriage, strongholds in relationships, strongholds in your finances, on and on and on. Recently, my wife and I realized that we just kept getting little financial attacks, just little things. The three of us pulled into a to go park at the bay yesterday. My daughter's birthday party this week, and my daughter pulled in with her Jeep, and I pulled in, and my wife pulled in. We went and had our party, not realizing that we had parked in an area we weren't supposed to. I was told during COVID you can park wherever you want, right? So nonetheless, but that's always my excuse. And $150 in tickets later, it was like, bam, all these little things. And then my wife finally came to me and goes, I think our finances are under attack. Not that we don't have food or anything like that, but it just seems like there's these little attacks that are going on. Let's grab hands together and let's pray against that. Let's pray a hedge of protection. And is there anywhere where we're in agreement with this? Are we being frivolous with our money? Are we not giving? Are we not being charitable? Is there anywhere where we're in agreement with the plans of the enemy? We need to shut those agreements down, where we're, you know, just being whatever it would be, opening the doors for attack. This is how we understand this strategic understanding. So it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And moving down to the notes, I put warfare is a strategic theme of Scripture. Jesus is our captain, but the Holy Spirit is portrayed as the equipper, supplier, and trainer of the troops. This week, after my Holy Spirit class, I began to ask the Holy Spirit to step his game up a little bit more. Now, he's always been willing to do it, but I hadn't been asking. There was so much resource. I heard once about a little boy that had a dream. This is not from the Bible, but I think whether it's true or not, that it gives a good story, and I think it's something that is true of Scripture. Little boy went to heaven, and in heaven there was crutches laying there, and there was all these resources, and there was like diamonds and gold, and there were all these different things that he saw in heaven, like these resources, tons of provision and resource. And the little boy asked, the angel, hey, what is this? And the angel said, well, that's a stockpile of things that have been given to people, but they've not asked for it in prayer. Now, whether that was a dream or not, that boy actually had it or not, I think it's true that you do not have, the Scripture says, because you do not ask. We want to ask of the Holy Spirit and to understand what the Holy Spirit equips us for and what he allows us for. And perhaps there's resource in that pile of God's treasure for your life. Maybe hope, joy, peace that you don't have because you have not asked. Part of this is understanding that we need God to ask for him to equip us for battle. Whether you think you're in the battle, whether you think or you've agreed to be in the battle, that still doesn't stop the fact that the devil has a plan for your life and it's very strategic about it. And we do not want to just sit in apathy as the devil steals, robs, and destroys. That's what he does in our lives, or tries to do. Verse 10 says, it is God's intention that you walk in strength and power and are fully equipped to make a stand against the plans of the enemy. It goes on in verse 11, and this is, if you want to circle this, put on, just circle put on. This idea of putting on the armor of God or anything you do with God is an act of the will. So much of our faith is grace. God just does it. While we were yet sinners, Christ saved us. I was reading in Romans this morning before I came in. It says, you know, God saved the Gentiles before they even followed the law, wanted to follow the law, even knew what the law was. So much of it is grace. Thank God for his grace. But so much of our faith relies upon the act of our will. God wants to be in a collaboration. In the same way that I said earlier, we want to collaborate with you as a church. We want to provide and resource you. We have this Holy Spirit resources. Elliot came and taught. Pastor Jim's classes, all these resources, how are you using the resources? We don't just make the videos for them to sit on Vimeo without anybody viewing them. We create things like the Holy Spirit Workshop so that you can grow in your faith, to build you up. Why do we have resources and a scholarship for Bucky to come if you need emotional counseling? Because we want to resource you. We want to meet you. The Holy Spirit wants to meet you in the same way. God wants to meet you in the same way. But you've got to act. Counseling is no good with Bucky sitting in an empty office. You know when it's good? When you call him or Kareen. Our missionaries are of no good, you know, if we're just thinking about them, but we're not resourcing them like we do. 10% of all of our giving in our church goes out towards our missions. Joe Brandy's here. We give to that as an example because we want you to be able to replicate what we do here as a church. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to put on the full armor of God. We want to take ground. At the beginning of the COVID experience, I think I'm just calling it now. It's like a Jimi Hendrix album, the COVID experience. I've made 5 playlists now on Spotify. It's been awesome. I've dropped a new one. So if you want to follow me on Spotify, you can. During the beginning of the COVID experience, the Lord showed us a few things. We had 2 people have dreams of waves. One rode a wave, and they were both on staff. They had the dream on the same night. One rode a wave to a top of a stadium, and the stadium was full, and the sense of the dream was that God was going to enlarge our presence and bless us, and it was a wave of God that we could ride. Another had a dream, Mrs. Kim, our children's minister, that she was in the water, a big giant wave threw her. She was terrified, threw her up on the beach. It washed away, and she was sitting on a beautiful sand beach, completely okay. They both had those dreams on the same night. Within 2 days of that, somebody came and said, I had a vision in prayer of a cone or a bubble over the church, protecting the church. And then God began to speak to me through different things I was listening to and wise counsel that God was going to enlarge and expand our understanding. Over the first 8 weeks of COVID, 54,000 people watched our entire service online over an 8-week period. 54,000 views, completed views of our services as God moved out and began to take it over and began to, you know, take the internet over. We were not online and now we are. So God is beginning to move, but he wants to meet us in that. This is an act of the will. Verse 10 is an act of the will. Are you engaging God? Yes, if you are a believer in Christ under his blood, you are going to have all the benefits that grace offers. But dare I say, and please understand me, that God wants you to have more than grace. Grace is unmerited favor, and the fact that he meets us with grace is 100%, and all we need is grace. But he also wants you to ask beyond grace. You get all this because of grace, but do you want more? That's the question. I hope you understand what I mean, because we are 100% saved by grace. By faith we are saved. But he wants us to ask. Put on the full armor of God. This is an act of the will. Ephesians 6 in verse 12. As we move on, it says, actually, before I read that, I want to read the statement that I wrote in the notes. When we understand who the true enemy of our soul is and this world is, it changes our mindset. We want to have a different mindset. As I look at the things that are happening in the world, I want to make sure that I don't place what is happening in people. You get this sense, well, if you could just get rid of Boris Johnson out of Parliament, everything would be okay. That Boris Johnson, you know, that guy is just whatever it is. Or you find this person, or your next door neighbor, or your mother-in-law. If we could just get rid of that person. I was even reading in the Proverbs this morning where it said, you know, do not wish ill upon your enemy. It says, because if you do wish ill upon your enemy, then I will remove the punishment from them that they are due. So it says, you actually want to love our enemies, but our battle, when you pray, our battle against lawlessness in the world, our battle against disease in the world, Jesus healed disease, right? I mean, are you asking God to heal COVID? Are you asking God in prayer, saying, God, you heal disease? I've been asking him a big one lately. I'm like, can you just end it like in one day? Imagine if it was just like gone, like everything went to zero. Like, imagine if it just went to zero. What would that be like? That's the way I want to pray. I want to pray bigger prayers. My prayers were too small. My prayer was like, oh, I hope no one in the church gets sick. He's like, come on, dude, really? Can we just like step your game up a little bit, you know? So now I'm just going like, I'm just going into battle. We're going to talk about battle prayer here in a minute. But I've just been saying, God, would you just end it? I pray that no one in our church gets ill at all. And I pray that you would just end it. You would destroy and wither the disease completely. But not till you're ready. I don't want it any sooner than it's supposed to be. I've prayed a few times. That was a hard prayer to pray. It says you oftentimes will have things that you don't want. But I said, God, not too soon. Not before you bring people back to you. Whatever you were doing, you were in the midst of this strategic battle prayer. We'll talk about that here as we read Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against Boris Johnson in the parliament. No, it says not against flesh and blood. But against the who? The rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. When you're praying for somebody who has become an enemy for you, or perhaps it's a neighbor that you can't get along with, or perhaps it's some other thing, I wouldn't specifically pray towards them. I would also pray for myself. God, give me wisdom, give me understanding. I love the mirror, right? Scripture's a mirror. More than it's, you know, meant to shine the sun of God's light on other people in their face, it's meant to be a mirror. You can use a mirror for two things, to blind people with the sun, or to turn it on yourself and ask yourself, where am I at fault in this? And so he says here that as we pray, you're praying against strongholds. When I've been praying, there's a spirit of lawlessness in the world right now. You see this. It's been going for hundreds of years. But when I've been praying, I've been saying, Lord, I want to pray over the demonic strongholds in certain areas and certain territories, over certain governments. I pray that you would just take down lawlessness. I pray that you would take down bitterness. I pray that you would end war. I pray for peace. I pray that you raise people up in your spirit. I begin to pray thematically about scripture and spiritual things. I want to see Joe back in Mexico, back at the orphanage. I want these trips to start again. This is bothering me that we're not going to Mexico and taking our trips. I know his heart is broke that he can't see his kids. He's been running the orphanage from PB. It's not supposed to be that way. I'm praying that God would remove anything and put people in governments and put people in science and people in the media and people that have no agenda anywhere in politics except the truth. It's the belt buckle of truth that you'll see here that we need. God equips us with these different things. But these are things to pray as you pray strategically over your city. As you pray strategically over this church, you want to pray for these things. Here they are. I put them in the notes, and I think I highlighted them. Truth. Pray for truth in the government. Pray for truth in media. Pray for truth in science. Just because it's science, there's this understanding that everything's true. It's not true for churches either, or people. Readiness. Pray for readiness of peace, that we're ready for peace. Pray for righteousness. Pray for salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with what? All kinds of prayers and requests. That's verse 15. We're going to be there in just a moment. Verse 18. With all types of kinds of prayers and requests. Earlier I said we were going to focus on verse 15. It's actually 18. I apologize. I wasn't wearing my glasses when I looked at that. God is calling us up to pray strategically. Now I have I'm calling the church into strategic warfare and battle prayer. Okay? I have an assignment for you for the rest of this month and all of August. I'm asking each of you to pray for 6 minutes a day for our church. Set your alarm to go off whatever time that time is, and I'm asking that you would pray for our church for 6 minutes a day. Pray strategically over the church. Pray over the neighborhood. Pray over peace. Pray over joy. With all kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. Well, I don't really know what to pray for. That's okay, because the Holy Spirit's going to fix it anyways. And even if you pray wrong, all things work together for good for those that love God, called according to his purpose. Just pray. Begin to write things down however you want, 6 minutes a day. I'm calling the church all of August, all the rest of July, to pray that God opens our church, that God opens our city, that God pray for our leaders, pray for me, pray for my family, pray for Jeff and the media team, pray for the children's ministry. We're not seeing our children. We're not seeing our adventurers, you know, 65 and above. A lot of them have issues. They can't be reached other than by phone call. Pray for strategic ways that we can reach them. Let us be strategic. Give us ideas. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge on how to do these things. Pray for your church. As we have had to step up our commitment, one of the things I felt like God saying to me is ask them to step up their commitment. Let's meet in the middle. Imagine if the church leadership and the church community meet together in power, in prayer. This is where we want to go. This is where we want to move, and pray for God to give us wisdom and favor. We need favor. Pray for a permit so we can meet outside. Pray that we won't have to meet outside. But whatever it is, pray for those things 6 minutes a day. We're not praying against people. We're praying against the principalities of darkness. And one of the key words I put in the notes is experience and maturity. As you move into this type of understanding, you're going to experience things. I never want to say you have more knowledge, but you will have more maturity. One thing that you will say is, while we'll never understand the eternal nature of God, we will have more maturity. We want to mature so that we know what the devil's schemes are. I told a story in my Holy Spirit class. I was probably 5 years married. We were living in this little apartment somewhere in, I think it was Orange County or somewhere. And I remember there was a next door neighbor. I'd never thought much of her. She was a yoga teacher or something like that, and lived by her for a while. And all of a sudden, I just got this thought, and it wasn't like a normal thought comes, this thought of like, man, she seems pretty cool. She seems super cool. I'm like, you know, she's kind of good looking too. She's kind of, you know, but it wasn't like, it just wasn't going into my heart. It was just there in my mind. And I was like, well, dude, I don't really care about that. I'm over it. And so, but for a good month, constantly, bam, bam, bam. One time she was taking her trash out. I got this thought, go help her take her trash out. You know, and pretty soon I was like, you know what? I don't want this to go into my heart. This keeps coming to my mind, and it's starting to bug me, and I do not want this to take root in my heart. So my wife and I have this thing. Now, you can't do this with all spouses, but we have this kind of marriage, and because we trust each other, that we've always said if there was an inordinate affection towards anything, whether it be alcohol, I don't drink, whether it be any kind of thing, TV, movies, if there was an inordinate affection or another person, we would go tell the other person. So I went, and I pulled my wife aside, and I said, hey, I just want you to know, for like the last month or so, like, this gal's been coming across my radar, and I just, it's not something I want or anything, but it just, it won't stop. I think it's maybe attack, I don't know. And she goes, that's the craziest thing. I had a dream a few nights ago that, like, you left me for that woman, and then during the day I was thinking to myself, it might be, she's probably a better fit for Adam anyways. Probably better if he went with her. All of a sudden, we saw the scheme and this was a direct attack from Satan. This was a direct attack. One, get me thinking of something I didn't want. One, put it into her mind that she's not good enough. You know, we're 5 years in marriage. We're in our early 20s, you know. But here's the deal. We brought it into the light. And you know what happened? Immediately, never a thought of that. She actually ended up moving a month later. It was vanquished. It never went any further. Sometimes we're so ashamed of the things the devil tempts you with. Don't be ashamed of temptation. Just because the devil tempts you with something doesn't mean you have to be ashamed of it. Just bring it out into the light. Bring it out into the light and be strong and courageous. So that was just one way. Now because of that, that grew me in maturity. As you fight with God, this grows you in maturity. Now I know that has not happened. That probably happened 3 or 4 times we had something like that over the first 10 years of our marriage. We've been married 23 years last week. Probably for 10 or 13 years, there hasn't been anything like that. It's like all of a sudden, it just isn't a good battle plan for the enemy anymore. Not that I'm not aware of it, or unaware of it, but he's gone to new things. We become mature, and we want you to be mature. Now, one of the ways we're mature is to move into battle prayer. This is in verses 18. Let me move to verse 18. And pray in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, praying in the Spirit could mean praying in tongues. We've had we are a church that believes in the things of the Spirit. We don't practice tongues or anything during a service because I feel like the Lord has said, hey, just want you to, you know, throw a fastball. But there are people in the church that have spiritual gifts, and we believe in all of the spiritual gifts. We've actually had three people recently, and one person in my Holy Spirit class over the last few weeks get the spiritual gift of tongues because they asked for it. So Kai, one of our elders, our former elders, was praying. And they got this thing. So it could mean pray in tongues. But if you don't have that gift, and not everyone should have that gift, God gives gifts as he as he wills. Some different movements believe that you have to have the gift of tongues as a sign that you're not saved. That is heresy. It's not true. But some people will. But it could mean that. Or it could mean pray in the Spirit on all occasions. It could just mean that you're asking the Holy Spirit to resource you as you pray. Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. Bring people into my mind. Bring people into my heart. Holy Spirit, comfort me right now. I'm not comforted. And sometimes you have to battle for a while. This week, there was different. I feel like I'd get 12 hours of victory and then, bam, get hit with something. A thought, an idea, you know, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, it's like back into the battle, just up and down. And there's been a lot of that recently. And especially as I'm trying to move into victory. As you try to move into victory, you're going to have to stand. And it says when you've done everything to stand, do what? Stand firm. There was one time this week where I was just tired of fighting. I'm like, Lord, I'm tired of fighting. You know, and the Lord said, well, you're not supposed to fight. Stand. And now what you're supposed to do is just stand. All I'm asking you to do is stand there. I will do all the fighting. Can you just stand there? That's all I'm asking you to do. And I was like, well, I guess I can just stand there. Okay, fine. Good enough. So I stood there. And about 20 minutes later, something that I had, you know, this thought, you get these thoughts in your mind that keep you up at night or whatever it is, or an emotion or whatever it is, completely vanquished in about 20 to 30 minutes is all it took. I was ready to quit and give up and just give in to, well, I guess I'm going to have a, you know, a cruddy day, just going to feel bad all day, going to feel, you know, well, not so much guilt, but you're going to feel, what, you know, anxious or whatever it is, depressed. I'm just going to give into it. Stop giving into it. Fight it. Stop giving into it. Let's stand. When you've done everything to stand, stand. One time I just called my mom. She always encourages me. Even when I'm not good, she tells me I'm good, which is awesome. Honey, you were amazing. I'm like, no, I was horrible. No, I was great. So good. Just call mom. So I just called mom. Tells me how awesome I am. Nice to have somebody be a fan. There you go. If mom's not a fan, sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Says, let me go on to finish that verse. As we're looking through this strategic battle prayer, it says, let me see, Ephesians 6:12, understanding the scheme, moving on. What verse was I? Oh, there we are, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Just popcorn it. Sometimes, I'm distracted. We'll pray for the distraction. Like, just popcorn prayer. 6 minutes for the church, though. And then you can expand that. If you want to get crazy, go for 11. Okay, only for the super spiritual, I'm saying go for 11. So if that's you, now you'll know if that's you, okay? So don't tell anybody because we don't want any spiritual pride, but if you're going to do 11, maybe you're one of the 11, like secret 007, so move into that. Coming in for a landing here on the sermon on battle prayer in all occasions, verse 5 in Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, right? You're weak. I understand that. So am I. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Does that sound like you? Sounds like me. But the Spirit himself intercedes through us with through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts, that's awesome, searches your heart. Imagine all the thoughts that are in your heart. Proverbs even says that we don't even know. The king's heart is like deep waters. You don't even know what's in your heart. It says in Scripture, you don't even know what your motives are. Proverbs 16, it says you don't even know what your motives are, but the Holy Spirit does, and he'll search your heart. He goes through all the chambers of your heart. He knows exactly what's within you, things you don't even know about yourself. But then as you pray, he takes all that knowledge, and then he goes and he unites it. Where does he unite it to? The mind of God. Look at this. It says the Spirit knows, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So the Spirit knows the mind of God. The Spirit then intercedes for your people, for your person as you pray. Now, the Spirit intercedes for you anyways, and God intercedes for you. Jesus intercedes on a regular basis for you. He's constantly interceding. But he's waiting. There's an empty chair at the table for you to show up. And when you do that, it superpowers and supercharges your life, where the Holy Spirit and Jesus himself begin to search your heart, unite it with the mind of God, unite it with the will of God. And even though it starts out with the premise you don't know what you're talking about, the will of God is going to be made profound in your life. That's powerful. You don't know what you're doing. You don't even know how to pray. But the end result is, if you just show up, he is going to bring the will of God into your life, search your heart, search God's mind, and put that in together of a beautiful poultice of God's Spirit and grace. Finally, understanding. It says the Spirit prays for us, and he who searches the hearts of God, because the Spirit intercedes, like I said, in God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, moving on finally to understanding the devil's plans. There is this thought that we don't understand the devil's plans. He's a big schemer. If he was so good, he wouldn't have crucified Jesus, right? Seriously, if he had to do it over again, you think the devil would crucify Jesus? It shows what an idiot the devil is. He crucified Jesus, laughed about it as he was doing it, and had no understanding that it was going to bring salvation to everyone he hated. The best thing he could have done is set up a buffet table for Jesus and told him just to chill out and relax and not crucify him or not move towards that. He's an idiot. Oh, he's incredibly scheming. But he's an idiot compared to God, because compared to me, he's a lot smarter than me. But the Spirit of God wants to make known his plans to us. As you see here in 2 Corinthians, as you go on, he's talking about forgiveness. It says, another reason I wrote to you, this is 2 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11, I wrote was to see that if you would stand the test and be obedient and everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. So there was an issue of forgiveness here. But it says, he understood that it was about forgiveness. And if that stronghold wasn't knocked down, the devil was going to have his way. This is what was happening in this passage. So he says, we're going to offer forgiveness in order that Satan might not outwit us. Why? For we're not unaware of his schemes. We are not unaware of his schemes. I had a dream 2 nights ago. I'd been, you know, just as the new orders come in, as things, how are we going to lead the church? Where's it going to go? What am I supposed to do? It's any of you that have a business, or, I mean, we're all going through this right now, right? But when you're leading 300 to 500 people, whatever the number is that go here or are part of our community, you know, a lot of different thoughts and opinions and on all from far sides and trying to decide, and it can get overwhelming. And I just started letting it get a seed and bother me. And I fought it all day to the point where it tired me out. I was just tired. At the end of the day, I'm reading scripture, I'm doing all these other things. And so I finally just said, hey, use what you talked about on Tuesday night and ask the Holy Spirit to give you some understanding. So I said, Holy Spirit, I pray for understanding. My mom actually prayed that night. She said, Lord, Holy Spirit, we prayed together, went up and we had chocolate chip cookies and prayed. That's a great mix, by the way. So she sat 6 feet, 8 feet apart, and we ate chocolate chip cookies, and then we prayed. And she prayed, would you give Adam a dream? And I asked for it, too. I don't really like dreams from the Lord that much, but I've been asking for them more. I just find them confusing sometimes or whatever, but that's something I need to get over. So I've been asking God, give me dreams and understanding. How can I get over this? Because I'm tired of being in this battle. And so I had this dream. It was really, really interesting. I was in high school, and I was playing football, and I was really amped to go out into the field. And I had my whole outfit on. We were ready to run out into the field, but I couldn't find my helmet. And I was like, where's my helmet? And so I'm looking around. Finally, I find my helmet, and then it has this visor on it. Now, if you remember Leslie O'Neill from the Chargers, he was a defensive end, and he wore this, like, visor. It was a see-through, like, for the sun, but it looked super cool. I don't think it helped with anything, but it looked super cool. And I remember I wanted one really bad when I was in high school, but I couldn't get one because they didn't have the internet when I was in high school where I could just order it. So I run out into the field. I am super pumped. I am ready to go to battle, probably going against, you know, La Jolla Country Day at the time or whatever it was. And these three giant goon guys come up, and they're the captains, and it's me. I'm the captain, and there's three dudes, but they're really stupid. They're really, like, oafy and stupid, but they're huge. And I'm just like, I am going to crush them, okay? So we go for the kickoff. The kickoff goes. I'm running down the field. This is a dream, 2 nights ago. Running down the field, and I get there, and all of a sudden, the guy gets the ball. He starts oafing along. I thought, I'm just going to crush that guy. I used to love being on kickoff coverage. And so I get to run, and the other oaf runs in front of him, and he grabs these two fingers on both of my hands. And he holds me. I got to tell you, if somebody has you by those two fingers, you cannot move. Like, and I was like in the dream, and all of a sudden this big oafy guy goes running by me and scores a touchdown, and then I wake up. I woke up, and I was like, whoa, Lord, what was that? And I said, Lord, will you just interpret that for me? Now, here's what I felt like the Lord told me. It's really clear. One, you're too anxious to be in battle. That was the first thing. You're too anxious. You're going to outrun the coverage. You're going to outpunt the coverage. But sometimes, you ever seen those guys in football? You're too anxious to be in battle. Stop being anxious to be in battle. Stand, slow down, and don't lead in battle all the time. You're not in a war all the time. So that's the first thing he told me. Sounded like it was from the Lord. The second thing, he goes, you know, you're being distracted by wanting to do things that I haven't led you to. So that thing, and it's going to blind you in the end, that cover over the front. And this came to me like, bam, 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 bam. The The next thing he said was, you're not wearing your helmet. The helmet is the helmet of salvation. He said to me, you're putting your mind on other things that are not good, pure, so it's like news coverage or whatever, and you're constantly plotting and planning and not just sitting in my spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm always, during COVID, you're always plotting. Okay, how are we going to get the courtyard fixed up? Planning, plotting, plotting, plotting. I'm coming in for a landing here. And so that's the second thing he said. And the other thing he said, he goes, the enemy can easily stop you with a small little thing if you're not prepared for battle. It was a small little thing. They couldn't have stopped me, but he just grabbed the most weak part. And the Lord said, if you had your hand on the sword of the Spirit and you had your hand clenched on the shield of faith, they never would have been able to grab that weak spot. There's just a little weak spot. It's so small, but he completely took you out of the game by just this one little weak spot because you weren't prepared. I got to tell you, I knew that was from the Lord. Like, it came to me like in about a minute and a half when I woke up from the dream, and I immediately knew, slow down. Don't get distracted. Put the helmet of God on. Clench your fist. Don't go into battle half ready. Be completely prepared. This is just one way that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. But it also, how did I know it was from God? Because all those things are true in Scripture. And all those things confirm with my spirit, this is how I need to lead. This is how the Holy Spirit equips me. And all those things I can prove in Scripture. Just a story. The devil, as you'll see in your notes, is very smart and takes advantage of your ignorance. He does this, if you allow him, through a lack of skill and knowledge. Our enemy, the devil, is strategic. His real power is cunningness. He's a master planner and knows how to execute his plans. One way he does so is to keep us ignorant. We do not want you to be ignorant. We want you to begin to ask, as it says in James, God for worship. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit in prayer. Give me understanding. Give me dreams. It says in the end times, that it says your young men will dream dreams and the old men will see visions. You know, as it goes on through that, we want to see this. We want to be an equipped people so God will teach us that we can stand up and that we can pray and that God will bless us. Amen? Let's stand if you would. And I want to pray a blessing over you today. If you want to extend your hands, if you would, if that's a posture, I want to bless you. Psalm 21, the king rejoices in the Lord's strength. O Lord, in your strength we rejoice. And I pray that these here would rejoice. In your salvation, how greatly we exult. I pray that you would give them their heart's desires, God, and not withhold any request of their lips. For you meet them with riches and blessings, and you set a crown of fine gold upon their head. They ask you for life, and you gave them length of days forever and ever. Your glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on these people. And you make them the most blessed forever. You make them glad with the joy of your presence. For we trust, and I pray that they would trust in the Lord, and though his steadfast love, the Most High, shall not be removed. I pray, God, that your hand will find out all of those that are their enemies, and your right hand will find out all those who hate us, Lord. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. You will swallow up, God, the enemies in your wrath. Lord Jesus, we ask, God, that though they plan anything is planned against these, Lord Jesus, though they devise mischief against them, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. And you will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will praise and sing the Lord's praise forever. So, Lord God, as the enemy, not flesh and blood, comes against us, we pray, God, that you would cast them asunder. And God, we, this church and these people that are here today, would step into a new power, a new understanding, a new glory, a new grace in you. And God, we bless you. We send them out now as an army of your consolation and in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things before you go out if you were here on site. One, Sean did put up, we have a tithes and offerings box there if you want to give there. Second of all, as you go, we really want to be a great example to our neighborhood. Would you wear your mask as you leave the entire premises, as you get into your car? Wear it all the way to your car, even though we're not required to, if you would. It really is a great example for our neighborhood, and they're watching us to see how we're going to love in Christ. So we're going to do that as an act of love and kindness. We love you. We'll see you soon. God bless. Maybe we'll see you for double dipping at the beach tonight. Bye.